Amen. So we're going to get ready. We have a guest speaker this morning, so we're going to prepare for her. And really quickly, as we get ready to have her come forward, we're going to introduce a couple of things. Maybe you know our church is part of Transformation Vallejo. We're part of a group of churches and businesses that are connected with a mindset on ministering not just to the church, but to minister beyond the walls of the church. Amen? Amen. So as part of that ministry, we are connected with an organization called Harvest Evangelism. And Harvest Evangelism has a conference coming up. And there is a night of miracles that we're going to be participating in coming up on September the 12th. It was scheduled for the 29th, but the date has changed, so we're going to be participating in that. But as part of the ministry of Harvest Evangelism, again, the things that are going on is Harvest Evangelism is an organization that is focused on making impacts in church, in business, in education, okay? Making sure that we extend the church into all those environments to make sure that we are fulfilling the full call of God. Amen? Our communities need us to be agents of change. And so we've been ministering about change, right? Being changed. First, we're changed. And as we're changed, we take the change that we've experienced out to the world. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to introduce Ted Haas real quick. Amen? And Ted's going to introduce our speaker for the day. Amen? Amen. I want you to notice something. He's got me. So my brother Ted has me. So Ted Haas, amen, from Harvest Evangelism.
It is a pleasure to be here. I am the chief. Hallelujah. It's good to be here. It's good to see y'all. I feel at home. I'm the chief intercessor for Harvest Evangelism, which means I lead a network of intercessors. I'm influential in building a network of intercessors. We call it our global prayer presbytery that is literally all over the world, and we pray regularly. And then we have a similar expression here in the Bay Area. And so I know this is a praying church. I can feel it. I just walked in here. Amen. How many of you have been believing God for a move of His Holy Spirit right here in the Bay Area? Do you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, that's why Susan is here. That's why we're here, to activate that. He who has much, even more will be given. If you raised your hand, you're going to come out of here with something. You're going to come out of here because it's God's time for the Bay Area. We've known each other a few years now. I had hair when I met you, and you weren't so gray. Other than that, you look exactly the same. Hallelujah. I've been working with Dr. Ed Silvoso and Transform Our World, Harvest Evangelism, for 20 years, because I went down to Argentina, and I was part of our events, and the things went down there, and I saw a move of God. And I'm not just talking a revival that is, you know, that means we meet all week and people come in and we preach the gospel and then business goes back as usual. Praise God for that. That's good. But I'm not just talking about going through the motions. I'm also not talking about a visitation of God where He shows up in a place. We've seen that. Where He shows up in a place and God is there and miracles are being performed and people come from all over the world and there's lines around the block to get in because they're hungry for God. Praise God for that. But so often, you go back to those revivals, and at the height of the revival, you go 1 mile away from the church to the community, and they're not even aware of what's happening at this church down the street from them, and they're by and large unchanged. That's not what I'm believing for. That's not what transformation is about. What I had saw and what I've been believing for 20 years, I'm celebrating 20 years anniversary here, in the Bay Area, 20 years believing God, working with Dr. Ed Silvoso, working on this. We have Pamela Pitts, too. We go back a ways, too. She came down with me to Argentina back in the day, too, and caught something and brought it back here and activated. That's how Transformation Vallejo with Michael Brown and as Derry shared about, but Pamela played a very critical role when she came down to Argentina. She was the first one from the Bay Area to go down to Argentina, from Vallejo to go down to Argentina. But I'm talking about when God visits an area and transforms the entire community, turns it upside down. Amen? And I've been believing for that for 20 years. We've been based right here in the Bay Area. Do you know they say that demographically the Bay Area is the least churched area in the entire nation? Did you know that? It's true, okay? I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing because the Bible says the last shall be first. And I believe that it's the time of God. Now is the time. I'm sharing that 20 years because about a year and a half ago, the Lord spoke to us very strongly and says, now's my time for the Bay Area. What you've been seeing happening all over the world was preparation. I'm going to do something there, and I'm the God of more. If you've seen us someplace else, believe it for here and believe him for more. Amen. He can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And as we were praying, the conviction began to grow. And I tell you, the whole Bay Area has been designed for his visitation. Hallelujah. So the Lord says, it's not enough just to believe it and to declare it. You've got to obey. And I want you to give your absolute very best. Because I want you, don't just be hearers, be doers, and receive this challenge to join a movement. Amen? So with that, I want to introduce Susan Richards. And I want to invite Derry to come up here. Because I am Dr. Susan Richards' spiritual bodyguard. I just wanted you guys to see the picture of her standing between Derry and I. And also, she's a servant of the Lord. Let's extend our hands. And every time before I introduce her, I like to pray for her. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for Susan. Anoint her words, Lord. Let her speak as one who isn't speaking the words of man, but the words of God. Inspire us with hope, Lord God. Inspire us with faith, Lord God. And, Lord, we thank you for your servant. We honor your servant. But we declare it's all about Jesus. And it's about your body. It's about your team. Transform us into the team, Lord God, that's going to transform the Bay Area and bring the good news all over. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Well, I want to say hello to each and every one of you. I'm just so happy to be here in Vallejo and at your church, joining all of you today. How many of you actually have health issues, whether it's physical or mental or emotional, that you'd like the Lord to help you with, even if it's more energy or pain or discomfort or, doesn't have to be cancer, even a sore back or just things in your life you'd like to be better that the Lord can do? Is there anybody here who's perfect? No perfect people here today. I've never actually met a perfect person, except, of course, Jesus, who came to the earth as the perfect person. But anyway, I'm just really excited to be here with all of you. And Ted gave me a little bit of an introduction. And I do have an unusual background in that I am a medical doctor and I'm an ordained minister. And what's cool about that is the two don't usually get together. Usually you have the doctors on one side doing what we do, which is diagnosis and prescribing treatments. But it's not about God in our field. When I went through medical training, the word God is never mentioned. Love is not mentioned. Faith and trust. So all of those things of the Lord aren't really part of our background. On the other hand, in the field of ministry, there's all the faith and all of the trust, but the background isn't, the understanding of how the human body works. So I've been very blessed in being both ordained in ministry, and I see there's a little bit of a bio, so you all know those things already. And I was on the teaching faculty at Stanford in the medical school, and currently, because my career has shifted, I'm a minister there. So I'm currently not at the medical center at Stanford at all, but I'm on the main campus doing ministry. And it's a signs and wonders ministry. It's the first time that the school has had miracles, because it's a totally secular school. It's not a believer school, so it's a real blessing to be there doing the work of the Lord this way. It in the time that I was doing just the medical part of my career, I loved what I did. I've always loved being a doctor. And because I'm a believer, I brought that into my medical practice. I don't know how many of you have doctors who pray for you. Anybody here, your doctors pray for you? So two of you here. But the rest I'm seeing like heads shaking, no. And I had a very kingdom-based practice. I really loved my patients. That, you know, I really wanted to live out the kingdom with what I did. And hugged all my patients, and it was very much a personal relationship as well as a medical relationship. I got to know the people that I treated in my medical practice. But it was still somewhat frustrating because I knew there was so much more that I could be doing with them. Because I knew the Bible and I knew that Jesus did miracles. He was the greatest healer ever. And I knew there was more that I could be experiencing. And it wasn't until about 6.5 years ago when the Lord guided me at that time into ministry. He guided me into becoming ordained. And at that point, my career and my whole life just totally shifted. It was just instantaneous. As soon as I became ordained, the Lord opened up a lot of the hospitals in the Bay Area. And it was completely, completely unique. I don't know of any other ministry in the whole country where the Lord has done this. I do know some other doctors who pray, and there are very few of us who actually pray for our patients. Most of the doctors staffing Stanford or UCSF or, you know, all the major clinics are not there praying. But when I've spoken to other doctors who do in different parts of the country, usually they're praying for their patients. Like what they'll do is they'll ask permission and they'll see if a patient would like prayer. And often it's prayers of comfort and blessing. I've talked to heart surgeons and other kinds of surgeons who've told me that before they will operate, they'll get down on their knees and they'll pray to the Lord and ask that, you know, a good outcome and that the patient doesn't have complications. But they generally don't ask for miracles. So what was so unusual here is that not only was the Lord opening up all the hospitals in the area, Stanford Hospital and the Children's Hospital, the Veterans Hospital, both in San Francisco and down my way in Palo Alto, Kaiser Hospitals, private hospitals, county hospitals. But he was starting to show up doing miracles. And that was the most amazing thing of all, was that I was in the ICUs of hospitals working with people that were almost gone. I mean, they were just hanging on by a thread. Have all of you been in an ICU? Has everybody here experienced that? Has anybody not? Gosh, it's amazing. So you've all been in an ICU. So you know how it is. It's a very serious environment. I mean, everybody's hooked up to monitors and, you know, ventilators to breathe and IVs and feeding tubes and indwelling catheters. It's, you know, it's a very serious kind of environment. And I was in ICUs all over the Bay Area, and God was performing miracles. I mean, healing miracles. And he would send me in the way he did with my patient practice, where I would focus on relationship. I would never just go into an ICU and just start praying for people. I was always wanting to know them. Unless they were in a coma. I prayed for a lot of people who were in comas where I couldn't speak to them initially, but then they would come out of comas really fast. Then I could have the relationship with them. So it was an amazing circumstance because I was going in and loving people, getting to know them, and this was everybody. It didn't matter if they were believers or non-believers or Buddhists or Hindus or whatever they were. And the Lord's love was so powerful that he would heal everybody that I prayed for. It was amazing. And then they would come to the Lord. I saw a lot of people who then came to the Lord, not because I was, you know, trying to convince them or tell telling them they should, but he would just show them what he could do. He would show them how much he loved them, that he could heal them against all odds, no matter how bad the case was, and then they would just be incredibly touched. And I would see in the hospitals the blind see and the crippled walk and the deaf hear right here in our area. Not even that far, you know, San Francisco, San Jose, all over. And it was just a very touching experience for me. And I saw things in the hospital that I just only thought would happen outside of this country. You know, people being healed miraculously that you think of in Brazil, or you think of with Heidi Baker in Mozambique, in Iris Global, or, you know, any place but the San Francisco area, you know, limbs growing out and just amazing things. So one of the things that I saw a lot of in the hospitals here that is just medically impossible are people who are quadriplegics walking again. And these are not like paraplegics. Paraplegics are people that have the use of their upper body, and those are the people you see in the wheelchairs who are able to, you know, guide the wheelchairs, they're able to make the wheelchairs move because they have the use of their arms. A lot of the paraplegics have very strong upper bodies because they're able to use that part of themselves. The quadriplegics, as you know, are completely different. They're paralyzed from the neck and shoulders down. So basically, they have nothing. They just have their head and their necks. And they cannot do things with their hands. And I worked with an army of quadriplegics and saw them all walking. It was just an amazing miracle of the Lord. And a lot of them I saw walking in the hospitals. And you all know Superman, you know, Christopher Reeves, the original Superman. He was as famous for being a quadriplegic as he was for being Superman. And what was so interesting about his case was he never walked again. He lived 10 years after his accident that broke his neck. He had the most serious kind of injury you could have. We have 7 bones in the neck. They're called cervical vertebrae. And he broke the first cervical vertebrae. It's the highest up one. That's disastrous. You can't get worse. And I've seen the Lord, and he never did walk again. He never breathed on his own. He had millions of dollars of medical care. And I saw the Lord take people that were worse than Christopher Reeves, where they not only broke their upper cervical, but breaking every single bone in their neck, and then walking again. And it was just amazing. What the Lord did. I saw him do so many supernatural miracles. I saw him heal flesh-eating diseases. I saw him take people with morbid obesity and create so much weight loss that it was impossible medically to have these kinds of weight losses. I had one patient who was 700 pounds who was in the ICU because he was in lung failure. He could not breathe. He was so huge. Well, first of all, the bed was like this, and he was like this. You couldn't even see the bed when he first came in. And so he was on a ventilator, and they only gave him a 30% chance of staying alive and healing. So he had very bad odds against him. And what was amazing was I would go in and pray for him, and every time I would pray, he would drop 50 pounds. It was miracle weight loss. It wasn't even like he dropped 10 pounds one time. Every time I'd go in, he would drop a huge amount of weight. And at the end of the time when they discharged him, after a month, he had lost almost 250 pounds. Now, that's a lot of weight. And what was amazing about it was it turned out when he left, I finally found out what he did for a living, and he told me he was a chef. And then I asked him, what's the first thing you're going to do when you go home? And he said, I'm going to make barbecue. And it was like, oh, no. He's really in trouble. So it turned out, though, that I saw him a year later, and supernaturally, he had kept all the weight off, even being a chef and loving to eat. The Lord had really blessed him, And he looked great, and he was in awesome shape. It was really good. Another man that I got to pray over had fallen off a 7-story building. And I've seen patients in the ICUs who've fallen 3 stories and 4 stories, but I've never seen anybody fall 7 stories and survive. That's highly unusual. What was even more unusual with this man was he should have like broken his skull. He should have been, you know, like every bone in his body broken. And it was almost like the Lord cushioned this man. And the only thing that really was a mess, a real disaster with him, was he did break one leg. The rest of him looked great. But the one leg that he broke was in very bad shape. He was in traction and pins. The orthopedic surgeons, you know, were caring for him. And the leg looked terrible. It was black and purple and red, the whole leg. When I prayed for him, I went home that night, and the Lord told me, I'm going to heal the leg. And he said, the leg is going to look normal. And I even wrote it in my journal. I said, God told me this leg's going to look normal. And I went back to the hospital the next day, and the leg was completely normal looking. It looked like the other leg. It was like completely the same color. All the black and the purple and the red was gone. And within a couple of days, he was out of traction. And the orthopedic surgeons took the pins out, and he was in the rehab floor, and he was home really fast. Like, it was amazing how fast the Lord healed him. So I've just seen the most incredible miracles. Oh, one man that I saw, which was a real reminder to me, that you're never too young or too old to be healed by the Lord. He loves everybody the same. And so I've seen him heal little tiny babies. I've seen him heal people in their 90s. This man was in his mid-80s, and he was very frail. He was just, you know, frail and kind of contracted and little, and he was in the ICU with every kind of life support. But what I noticed the minute I walked into the ICU was this man had a half arm. He only had a half arm, and it was paralyzed. So it looked like this. It literally, when I walked in there, this is what it looked like. And he couldn't move it. And so I prayed for him. And then what was amazing is that the Lord grew his arm out, and he had 2 completely matching arms. And not only did he have a matching arm, but the Lord gave him a 20-year-old arm. So here he is, an 85-year-old man with a big, huge, muscular arm that didn't look like the rest of his body. And I thought, God, what is he going to do with this big, huge arm that you just gave him, this gift? And, well, the first thing he did was he could move it. And every time I'd go in and visit and pray for him, he was showing me how much he could move this big, beautiful arm. And smiling and happy, no longer paralyzed. And it was so funny because every time since then, people who've seen the picture of him, they'll say, I want to see the picture of the guy with the arm. So it was awesome. So what I want to do is just tell you a little bit more about the ministry, and then I'm going to go ahead onto the slides because I really want to show off the Lord. That's what I'm really here to do. So I do want to let you know that when I was doing this work in the hospitals, in the ICUs, I had no idea there was anything else. I thought it was just me and God and him just doing these incredible miracles, and that I was being blessed beyond anything you could imagine to see these things. But it turned out there was actually more. And a few years ago, I started a Facebook page, guided by the Lord to do it. And I was going to combine the medical and the spiritual. So it started out as a healthy living page. And I did a lot of health tips on the page. There were healthy recipes and exercise tips and that kind of thing. And it was a total failure. The page went nowhere. I had 20 friends that I begged to like the page, and I only got 10 people to like it. So that gives you some idea about how really this was a loser. This page didn't go anywhere. And I was really depressed. I hardly ever get depressed, but this page was like, oh no, I've got to post on this page. And I don't like the page. I don't want to do it. And it seemed like getting to 300 people would be like climbing, you know, the biggest mountain in the world. And so for the first few months, that's how it was. I think we grew from 10 to 20 people at the most. It just didn't go anywhere. Then the Lord kind of spoke to my heart and said, you know, you're not using this page right. He said, this is my page. What are you doing with popsicle recipes? This is my page. And so I said, yes, God. So I'm going to change this page. So I started making it his page and posting prayers and, you know, spiritual inspiration. And as soon as I did that, he took over the page and it grew instantly. And we had 10 or 20 people, and all of a sudden we were getting hundreds of people an hour coming on this page. And it was being shared thousands of times. And all of our posts, they were going to 100,000, 500,000, 800,000 people per post. And so we have 1,200,000 followers, and the page has had millions of people on the page, just millions. Some weeks we have 5 million people. It's been amazing. And so we were getting thousands and thousands of prayer requests, because what the Lord was showing me was that this way of combining the medical healing and the spiritual healing was on his heart, and he wanted to share this with a lot of people. So all the people emailing us on Facebook were having medical requests, but also spiritual and personal requests. So, you know, we started praying for them. And then in the last year, what he's done is speak to my heart yet again that he wants this ministry to really be going out into the world, and not just with Facebook, but blessing more and more people in our area. So we started a training program, and we had 14 doctors who were showing, teaching the medical part of healing, how to heal the sick medically, and then we do the spiritual prayer. And so I'm going to be going to show you the pictures in a second. I just wanted to let you know that I have brought some flyers, and they're, I guess, in the back. And so if any of you are interested in learning about our program, our trainings, we have audio downloads that I've been doing, we have our classes, and a lot of healing conferences. We're doing a lot with Harvest Evangelism clinics, and so we have flyers if you're interested. So what I'd like to do now is the most fun part for me, which is to talk about the Lord and to show him off. Not that he needs any showing off, but in my little way, I like to do that. So this is just another flyer for the event that we're doing with Harvest Evangelism, Transform Our World, in October. And if we could just put that flyer back on again. There we go. Actually, maybe I'm looking here. I don't know if I'm seeing the same screen here as you all have here. But so I guess I should turn and look. So this is going to be October 3rd to October 7th. Ted mentioned it. It's going to be in San Jose, and there are going to be leaders from all over the world. They've asked me to teach a segment, so I'll be teaching for three or four hours on the first day on Monday. So it should be an amazing conference. And when we invite all of you to come, it's going to be a one of a kind conference where you're really going to be inspired and equipped in the Lord. And then the next slide. So that's a few of our evenings. That's myself and Dr. Sunny Lara, who's just an amazing pastor. He actually spent 19 years in jail. And he's got more jail stories that are incredible than anybody I've ever heard. He never runs out of these stories. But he's a man of God, and he's an amazing pastor. He does many things in the San Jose area. And Dr. Ed Silvoso, who's the leader. And then we have an Oakland event coming up tomorrow, I think. Yeah, we'll be in Oakland tomorrow. So you can text Transform Our World to find out the location. And then we can go to the next one, which are pictures of the audio downloads. And these are me praying spiritually and medically for individual illnesses, like if you have a certain cancer or neuropathy or lupus or cerebral palsy or autism, I actually do the medical prayers that I do for people, and I spend about a half hour to an hour on each of these downloads. So for people who have strongholds where they're not healing, you can listen to these over and over again, and they are medical and spiritual, so they're very helpful. And a lot of people are having great results just listening to these. They're on our website. And then the next thing is I want to go ahead and the next slide is we're going to start the miracle stories. So let's go to the first slide and just sit with that slide for a few minutes because I want to share the testimony of what this slide is all about. So what you're looking at is a little boy who's a year and a half. That's his age. And he was born severely brain damaged, brain impaired. And this is a picture of him right before I prayed for him. The family story is that the mom and dad are computer software engineers in Silicon Valley. And they're from India. That's where they originate. And they were Hindu by background. They were not believers. The mom became a believer just a few months before this picture was taken. And they had gone back to India to have the Hindu priests pray for the little boy and heal him. And it was a total zero. They went all the way back to India, and he did not get healed. And the mom was really angry. She told me she literally cursed the priests when she left India. And she cursed the little boy and herself. She felt completely put upon. She was not a believer. She didn't know about Jesus. So she just thought this was a disaster. So she came back to this country, and she started to meet believers. And so she started to read the book, the Bible, the scriptures, and she learned about Jesus and that he was the greatest healer that the world has ever known. No one has ever been, I mean, Jesus is it. And so she really thought, I want to have someone who's Christian pray over my child. And so she found me somehow, and I said, yes, I will pray for your son. She said he's completely hopeless. She said the doctor said he will need care for the rest of his life. He will never be normal. So when I met them, this was how he looked. You can see that he's not really reacting to the world. He's completely shut in. He did not know he had a mom. He wasn't like a normal child, you know, where at his age they'd be walking and crawling and exploring the world. He was zero. And he was so neurologically impaired that that's his mom's hands. If she took her hands away, he would just flop over. He had no muscle tone. He couldn't sit up. And so I started to pray for him, and we literally had him draped over kind of a bench because he couldn't sit up. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs, screaming and yelling. He's drooling, and he has no muscle tone. And as I prayed, the Lord started to heal this little boy. And so the first thing was he stopped screaming and yelling, and the drooling stopped. And then I could see his muscle tone was starting to shift. So we can go to the next slide now. And this is how he was right after I prayed for him. So it was quite a shift. The Lord did a huge healing on this little boy. He's like a different child. And so all of a sudden, he came alive. The Lord gave him a brain. And when I was praying for him, the Lord poured gold dust as a signs and wonder on the little boy and on myself and the mother. So the Lord's pouring gold dust out. And he did an amazing healing of this little child. So the first week, I'm going to just show you a few pictures of him. And here he is. We can go to the next picture. And here he is exploring the world. This was within a week. And he's playing with his mom's computer. And we can go to the next picture. And here he is sitting up by himself for the first time, pushing furniture around. And then we can go to the next picture. And that's his mom, and there he is standing. He was healing so fast. He was standing, playing with kids, learning he had a mom and dad. We can go to the next picture. And here he is looking at a picture book, and that's his mom with him. And then the next picture, look at the look on his face with his mom. Do you see the difference between the first picture and this picture? He is totally in love with his mom now. And his mom, this is just in the last couple of months, and literally the mom will sometimes come to our conferences and just show him off to everybody there, like, look at what the Lord has done to my child. And there he is driving a little car. So it's just been precious. And every time he sees me, I get a big smile because I'm the one that did all the prayers. So we go to the next picture. And this next picture, where we are, is in the ICU. And you've all been in the ICUs. You've all been in hospitals. So this might look familiar. So you're looking inside an ICU room, and you can see all the monitors in the background and the IV poles. And what's unusual, because I'm sure when you've all been in the ICU, whoever you've been visiting doesn't have a huge smile on their face. Have any of you been in the ICU when you first gone in and somebody who's almost dead is smiling? I mean, it's not very normal. So here, this man has a huge smile on his face and he's waving at the camera. And what's amazing about this man is he's a total quadriplegic. He's a man who was in a truck accident. Truck fell down the embankment, was completely totaled. He broke every vertebrae in his neck. Every bone in his neck was broken. He was airlifted by, you know, air ambulance helicopter to the hospital. They did emergency surgery on his neck, so he has rods and screws and all kinds of hardware in his neck. Yet here he is in the ICU with the hugest smile, waving at the camera. We can go to the next picture, and that's when he's first lifting his leg, and you can see he's got all the tubes and the wraps, and he's a total quadriplegic, completely paralyzed. And this was a few days with him being in the ICU. And this man was a non-believer, and the reason he ended up as a quadriplegic is he and his wife had such a huge fight that he ran out of the house at almost midnight, got in their truck, and that's when he crashed the truck and broke every bone in his neck. His wife did not even know that he had been injured for 3 days. She was never notified. She thought her husband had just abandoned her, and it turned out that he had almost died. So the amazing thing about this case was that within a few days, he was healing so fast that the doctors told him that he was healing too fast. Like, you're healing too fast. Like, they were freaking out over how he was healing. And they moved him down to the rehab floor. And this man, we can go back to the first picture of him because I love the picture of his smile. He was walking before he ever left the hospital, and he left with just a knee brace on. Complete healing in the Lord. And on September 12th, when we do our event here, we're going to show even more pictures of patients that I've prayed over, you know, quads climbing mountains, quads just doing amazing things. But he said he would never be the same again after the Lord healed him. He went from being a non-believer to having total faith in the Lord and said he was going to dedicate his whole life to sharing what the Lord had done for him. So let's go to the next picture. And then the next picture after that. And though that's another man who's a quadriplegic, this is the first time he ever walked. He's actually a man who had been in a motorcycle accident, who had fallen, he crashed the motorcycle, he had fallen forward across, you know, the front of the cycle, broken his neck, high cervical injury. He was in a coma for almost a month before he got prayed for. As soon as he got prayed for, he came out of coma, and he regained everything really fast. I still remember he was doing wheelchair races in the hospital. He was the leader of all the wheelchair races. That's the only time I've seen the patients doing this in the hospital. But he got everything back, and there he is walking for the first time. They're just fitting him with a brace, and he was a quadriplegic up walking. Let's go to the next slide. And this is a really touching case. This is a boy who's around 20, And he was born with the absolute worst case of cerebral palsy that I've ever seen as a doctor. He was completely crippled. He is blind. So he not only is crippled, but he's blinded. He has absolutely no coordination. The neurological damage he had, he wasn't just impaired, but he was throwing his arms around all the time, like this. He was just constantly agitated and moving around. His name's Jeffrey. And his mother is a student in our school, and she asked if I would pray for Jeffrey. So she came to one of our conferences with him, and I put my hands on his head, and I started to pray neurologically into Jeffrey. And he had been hopeless. He was like the little boy that I first showed you. The doctors just considered that nothing could be done for him. So how he was how he was going to be for the rest of his life. And so let me show you a few more pictures of him before. So that's his grandmother. And then there's another picture with his grandma. And you can see he's really impaired. And then the last picture, the before picture, is what I had to deal with praying for him. You can see he's kicking his arms and legs. He was never quiet for a minute. He just could not sit still. Neurologically, that was the impairment. He just couldn't do anything differently. So he's kicking his arms, kicking his legs. And when I prayed for him, that's his mom, by the way. She's the Dancia. She's the student in our school. And so I laid hands on him, and he was so agitated, he would tear my hands off his head. But I just persevered, and he started to shift. And it was obvious that things were happening to me and his parents. So his mom had me pray for him, you know, a few more times, like any time that she could, she would bring him and I would pray. And the Lord healed him. And I want to show you what's happened to Jeffrey with prayer. So look at him kicking and, you know, flailing around. And let's go to the next picture. So here he is out of his wheelchair praising the Lord. And the next picture, you can see he's out of the wheelchair giving a friend a hug. And then the next picture, look at this. He's playing a piano. This was a boy with no coordination. And then the last picture of him, look at that. He's driving a shopping cart at a store. Look at that. Isn't that amazing what the Lord did? So, praise God. So let's go to the next picture. And this is a picture of a little girl, and that's her mother. And this was at a conference that we did in Oakland. This is a little girl like Jeffrey, who is also... Oh, the other thing about Jeffrey is the Lord healed his blindness. He's no longer blind. So not only can he walk and push shopping carts, he's not blind anymore. And he's starting to look at books and iPads for the first time they can school him. Because he's quiet and focused, and then he can see now. So this little girl is blind because of cancer. She has a cancer of one eye. And so the mom brought her, hoping for a miracle, to our conference. And the Lord did not disappoint. She got a lot of prayer. I was praying over her with a corporate prayer. And then Ray, who's here in the front, was praying for her. And she regained her sight at that conference. And we tested it. Her good eye was blocked. So we were testing the good eye and the bad eye, and she could read a little book with the bad cancerous eye that was blind. And the mom went back to the doctor, and there was no sign of cancer at all. It was completely gone. The Lord had totally healed this little girl of cancer, and the mom was so touched. You can see she's crying and happy and precious little daughter. And then let's go to the next picture. And I brought a bunch of kid pictures today because I love what the Lord's done with children. So this is a little girl. She's 5 years old. And what you're doing is you're seeing her in the pediatric ICU. So she is very impaired. Look at her. She's got a neck brace on. She's unconscious. And what happened was she was in a near-death car crash with her father, who was very seriously injured as well. He fractured his femur. That's the biggest bone in our body. It's our leg bone. It's this one. And he fractured all his hip and pelvic bones. So he was you know, impaired. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. And I prayed over the dad, and he started walking right away. He had a really good, great recovery from the Lord. But the little girl was not recovering. This little girl, her name is Anna Leah, was not healing, and she was in a coma for some weeks. And the family finally asked me if I would go pray for her. And she broke her jaw, she broke her arm, and her brain injury was so bad that they had to drill a hole in her head and put in a burr hole through the skull and put in a tube to take out the blood and the fluid, because the intracranial pressure is so bad it will cause even more brain damage. I've seen this with a lot of accident and trauma patients in the ICU. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen this in the hospitals. I go in with a trauma patient, they're unconscious, they're in coma, they have a burr hole in their skull, and I've seen the Lord take every one of these people, rarely not, out of coma. It's been amazing. And she was no different. So let's go to the next picture of her. And here she is in the ICU, and you can see she's asleep. She's in a coma. And she has oxygen. You can see they're giving her oxygen. And this little girl who's 5 years old is in a diaper because she's in a coma. So she has no control over her functions. So they had to keep her in diapers. And you can see that she's casted on the one arm. She's broken her arm. And she's completely out. She doesn't have any idea. She's gone. So there was a real concern that this would be a permanent brain injury with her. And so I went into the pediatric ICU, and I started to pray over her. And she came out of the coma really fast. And here's the picture of her after. That's a big shift. She's just right in the hospital, and she came out of the coma. And it was really beautiful because she was perfect. There was no brain injury. She could walk. Everything was perfect with her. They discharged her about a month ahead of time. And so she went home to be with her family. And here's a picture of her with her father. Now, this picture came to me. I did not take this picture. I was at Cathedral of Faith, which is a big church in San Jose, just in the last month, a few weeks or so. And I was preaching at the church and sharing testimonies like I'm doing with all of you. But I wasn't sharing her testimony. And I shared her testimony. I share some, like which one at which place, because I'm in so many churches. So the grandmother came up afterwards, and she had tears in her eyes. It was the grandmother of the little girl. And I had totally lost track of the family. I didn't know where they were. I didn't realize they were part of Cathedral of Faith. The grandmother comes up to me after the 8:30 service with tears in her eyes, reminding me that she's the grandma, and we had a reunion right there in the church. And for the 10:30, 10:15 service, the grandmother went up on stage, and she gave her testimony, and she gave this picture. This is not my picture, it's the grandmother's picture of the little girl, Anna Leah, with her father. And then the next picture is of the grandmother and the little girl. That's the grandmother who was at the church. And I got to meet the rest of the family. It was really precious. So it was one of these God encounters, and it was very exciting. So I'm going to end with this wonderful picture of this little girl, big smile on her face that the Lord has healed. And I like showing the family because it shows that when the Lord heals one person, he heals a lot of people. He heals the whole family. Like in the case of this family, he healed the father, He healed the child. But they have a big family. There's four kids in that family. When I was praying for this little girl in the ICU, the other kids were there. Like, the little baby was, you know, was, they had a whole family with little kids, and it was really precious. And so the enemy, when he tries to come against us and take us out, he comes against family members and friends, and he makes everybody miserable. When one person is sick, the whole family has to be involved and be engaged. And so when the Lord heals one, he heals all. And that's what I love about our God, is that he's a God who loves everybody. And the families are healed, the friends are healed. And I want to end with that. And I have just a few more minutes. And what I'd like to do, just in closing with you all, is if we could all pray together. I would love to pray with you all and just give a little prayer. I don't have much time. I've been talking a lot. And just pray for all of you, because we're all here together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're all part of his family. We're all here with him. And he loves each and every one of us equally. We're all precious. And so I want to pray blessing. His blessings over each and every one of you. So, dear Lord God, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, because your love and your mercy and your grace is so beautiful. It's beyond anything that we can ever know. Your love, you just pour it out onto us all the time. And even when we get caught up in things in our life, we get concerned about illness or the state of our mind. If we get depressed or anxious or worrying about things going on with our families or our lives, our jobs, our finances, whatever these things are, you're always there, always just loving us and just pouring your love out onto us. So I just want to pray in Jesus' name for each and every one of you, knowing that God loves each of us with his whole heart, the heart of the Lord, and that we are in his heart, and that he wants only the best for us. He wants us to be uplifted in him, blessed in him, knowing how precious we are, and that whatever you need, he is here to give you. He just wants your love. He wants your faith and trust in him. There's so little that he asks for. And all he exists is to love you and to pour out on you. And Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. And I know that each and every one of you here is going to be blessed by God beyond anything you can ever know. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank all of you for having me here, and I just want to invite you, because we'll be back on September 12th, but on that day we're here to do all healing and all prayers. So we're here to see miracles of the Lord, just like the miracles that I was showing you in these pictures. And I believe that your church is going to be part of this whole miracle evening. So I hope that all of you can come. We're looking forward to serving and seeing the Lord bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to turn this back over.